Lewis Scottish Prism, the programme that is unapologetically pro-Scottish independence and anti-Westminster rule. Everything we say here is viewed through a Scottish prism. Brought to you by Barhead Boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Through a Scottish Prism. Lovely to have you back. It's been a few days since we last spoke. I hope you're all well, and those that you've got your blue envelopes, well done. Those that are waiting in your blue envelopes, keep safe. And keep your family safe and keep safe till we all get through this horrible thing. So anyway, I'm delighted to welcome a newbie to the show, but not a newbie to you guys, one of our famous people. It's someone who is a Scottish politician, was the member for Ochil and South Perthshire in May 2015, served as the Scottish National Party Trade and Investment Spokesman, Deputy Shadow Leader of the House of Commons, and was the SNP National Women's Equalities Convener. Was unfortunately defeated in 2017, but as now, I'm happy to say, is with us again, has joined the ALBA party, and I'm delighted to welcome Tasmina Sheikh to the programme. Hello, Tasmina, how are you?
Hello, Rod, you're a Barhead Boy. I don't know what you prefer, but I am delighted to be here. Yeah. And I received my blue envelope recently too, so I'm doubly happy.
Well, you look, I was told on the 29th of this month I might start getting word on mine, but we can but hope.
It'll be on its way. I had mine last week, Roddy, and off at the Louisa Jordan, and it was a great experience. Can I just pay tribute before we say anything else to our amazing National Health Service and all of the volunteers who are there? They're just epic, angelic people. But the day I got my JAG, I was nervous, of course. I was there with my husband, and I heard a voice round the corner, a familiar voice of someone else getting a JAG, and it was Jason Leach. So I thought, well, they must be injecting me with the right stuff in the veins, because he wouldn't be there if it wasn't. So I'm very happy I've had it done.
Good. And then hopefully you don't have too long to wait in your next one. And
hopefully not.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing, this COVID, and we could spend the whole day talking about that. But there are other fish to fry, as they say. And I know you're a very busy lady these days. So you've been in Parliament, you've been an SNP MP, you're now in ALBA, and I know you're working very hard. I mean, give the listeners a wee overview of just say today what you've been up to today.
Oh, well, today I was up at, I'm trying to think, I went to sleep about 2 a.m. because I'm busy working on the party political broadcast for the party, which will be aired soon. And so that was just finishing off some work around that. Got up at the crack of dawn because I had to go through to Edinburgh to film that at the top of Carlton Hill with the party leader, Alex Salmond. And after filming there, in the glorious sunshine, the sun was shining on the righteous, it sure was, with a beautiful saltire that the lovely Dave Llewellyn had organised for us. And can I thank him as well? What a tribute. What a wonderful man. Pay tribute to him. So he'd arranged a beautiful saltire in Carlton Hill. And you remember, Roddy, when Alex launched the party just a couple of weeks ago, he said that we're placing our standard, our flag on the hill, and we're seeing how many rally to our call and to our cause for independence. So that flag was blown in the wind. That's all I'll give away out of the party political broadcast. But after that, filming that, there was then a photo call for all of the Lothian candidates that included Kenny McCaskill and Alec Arthur and Irshad Ahmed. And there must have been, there's a press pack with over 30 photographers and Sky News broadcast journalists. So just managing all of that, because people said, are you the press officer? And I said, well, I'll just add that to my list then of all of the other things. I'll be the press officer for today. But it was a great day, and Alex was in good form. And I asked questions about what our plans are, you know, what we're trying to achieve. And I'm just really proud to stand in a party with a whole bunch of other great people who are seeking to take Scotland forward as quickly as possible. And there was a really good feeling today, actually, in Edinburgh amongst people. Just, I don't know, Roddy, I would say that no matter what people might think of ALBA, I certainly think we've injected some energy into the campaign where, you know, weeks ago might have been seen as a given, you know, within a margin of a few errors, what the election outcome might be. But I think we've energised a bit of summer 2014 into it, and much needed it is. So it felt a bit like that.
Yeah, well, indeed, I agree with you. There's I noticed yesterday that the Angus McFadyen, the Bruce tongue-in-cheek video, which was absolutely fabulous, incidentally, has had over 200,000 hits in under 24 hours. It's amazing.
It's unbelievable. It's amazing. And it just goes to show, I think some people decided to even point some flack in that direction. I mean, if we can't ask our artistic community, or if our artistic community, mm-hmm. you know, want to contribute to a political debate in the way that they know or the way that they enjoy, bit of satire, bit of fun, bit of tongue-in-cheek, yeah, bring it on. Let's welcome that. Again, this is all part of the spirit of an independence campaign that drew people in 2014 for a whole variety of reasons. And our artistic community, our acting community, our singing community, all of them had so much to contribute then. And that hasn't changed.
No.
The idea also, Roddy, that we should forget our history or that it's not important is quite an incredible position to find ourselves in. So, as I say, I thought it was an awful lot of fun. And I'm sure those of us that can take that measured view and when watching it can take that from and just enjoy the moments of it. I just thought it was a great thing to see and very inspiring and uplifting. And at the end of the day, you know, we've been through a year of lockdown. People are depressed. They want their spirits to be lifted. They don't want to know it's more of the same. They want to know that True. There's people around who are going to make things better. And that's what we're hoping to do. And we thank Angus for his participation in that.
Absolutely, you're right. Let's go back to 2014. The National Collective, if anyone remembers that, I certainly do. They were inspiring during 2014. People like Alan Bissett, for example, it was just amazing. And it was great. But it's annoyed Scotland and Union. So obviously we were doing something right. If you're upsetting them, not that it's difficult to upset.
All I can say, Roddy, is if Scotland and the Union are upset, then a badge of honour and well done, Team Alba. Thanks, Angus McFadden, because I think we must be hitting all the right notes there. What would be more disappointing, of course, Roddy, and I'm not suggesting this might even have been the case, but if other people on the other side of the argument somehow think this wasn't a good idea, I think they should perhaps take a wee look at themselves and remind themselves of the things that you've just suggested, that movement, the National Collective in 2014 and the contribution of various people. And it just seeks to reinforce that the independence cause belongs to no one party, no one person, no one vehicle. It belongs to us all, and we should all reserve the right to express our support for it in whichever way we see fit.
Yeah, and Scotland's got to be the only country in the world where appreciating your history is frowned upon. You know, the famous Scottish cringe by so many people. I think it's quite sad, but it's something that we just have to live with and get through. But you've been busy.
I was going to say, Roddy, we'll not live with it. We'll work on them. We'll work on them. We're not going to leave them in a state of despair if we can lift them up to our cause and see the noble nature of what we're trying to achieve. So they're not a lost cause yet. We'll keep working on them.
Correct. But I know you've been busy forever, but you were very busy over the weekend with the first women's conference, which I believe and know was a roaring success, and one that the ladies certainly enjoyed more than anything. It gave them such a boost. You must have enjoyed doing that.
I did, Roddy. In fact, when we, you know, when the party was born, or when it was launched just 2 weeks ago, one of the first events that I had up online that I wanted to have was a women's conference for a variety of reasons. When in the SNP, I sat in the National Executive, and as you pointed out, I was National Women's and Equalities Convener for about 7 years in the SNP, from 2011 on to around 2018. And, you know, with the help of others, we were driving to increase women's representation. And I thought it was very important to create spaces for women to speak to each other. And so I helped formulate and ran women's conferences on a yearly basis in the SNP. Unfortunately, they stopped when I left that role. And so one of the first things I wanted to do was to reinvigorate, you know, the spirit of womanhood and what women have to offer the debate and create a safe space. And of course, in the intervening period, Roddy, and as is demonstrated by our women's inequalities policy that we published today, women, for a variety of reasons, felt that they've been, you know, pushed into the shadows or denied a voice, a very important voice in a number of very sensitive debates that have been going on. So I was very keen to give women a chance to air that in a safe space. And that's what we did. We had over 400 women online, and they weren't even just ALBA party members, women members. We broadened out to absolutely anybody who was a woman who wanted to listen into the discussion. Because what we should be doing in Scotland as it currently stands, and as we move towards our independence, is involving people in a necessary discussion to advance our causes, and the cause of womanhood, women and womanhood, and feminism is a great one indeed. And it was, you know, it's been difficult being in lockdown, Roddy, and I've really gained a tremendous amount of strength from my fellow female candidates. As you know, there's 18 of us, and in the 2 short weeks, we've got to know each other better. We're constantly engaging with each other, whether it's via Zoom or via telephone or WhatsApp group or whatever it may be. And we've drawn a great strength from that. And that solidarity, it shouldn't be lost and it shouldn't be undervalued. So we want to create a space where women who felt they couldn't speak about issues that are sensitive and difficult and challenging and where they have concerns, you know, create an atmosphere where they were able to do that. And I think that was extremely successful in achieving that. And we haven't stopped there. We have, you know, 3 more events lined up. One which will be women and LGBT women in a couple of weeks' time, and then an event 2 days after that, which will be BAME and disabled people. And then just after that, we're going to have a youth conference for our ALBA youth movement. So we're just going to keep talking to people. As much as people try and shut down conversation, we're going to make sure we do everything we can to facilitate it in a safe and happy environment.
Yeah. Well, that's what we want to hear, because people are trying to shut us down. Well, I say us, I mean the entire independence movement. They always have done, whether it be when SNP or ALBA or ISP or AFI, they've always tried to shut us down. But they're going even further this time. And tomorrow night, of course, they're keeping us out of the debates of the leaders. And it seems incredible that a party with 2 MPs, I don't know how many councillors it is now, I've lost track, and such candidates that you've rhymed off would be excluded from any debate in a fair and open society.
It is a democratic outrage, and it would be less of a democratic outrage, I would say, Roddy, if we weren't being mentioned on a daily basis, several times, in the press and online. If we weren't being mentioned in leaders' debates that have gone past, like the one on the BBC a couple of weeks ago, where we were mentioned at least 3 times and unable to defend our position or even state our cause. Mm-hmm. But that isn't the case. The case is we are being mentioned in the leaders' debates. We are being mentioned by each of the other party leaders in all engagement they have online and in broadcast media. We are being mentioned, you know, in papers, and we are being mentioned by the blogging community, by new media. And so, therefore, we have more members than the Liberal Democrats. We have more MPs at Westminster than the Labour Party. I've lost track of how many councillors there are. So with all of these achievements and accolades and things that are being said about us, it is nothing short of a democratic outrage that we are not participating, not even just in leaders' debates, which, of course, Alex Salmond should be taking his place, even as a former First Minister and leader of this party, but in any other television debate or interview where we're being excluded yet talked about. I mean, Roddy, at the weekend, just before the weekend, Philip Sim of the BBC put a piece up online on BBC talking about, you know, how many women MSPs might be elected. And he didn't mention a single solitary woman candidate from the ALBA party, of which we have 18. The question is, why not? Are we the wrong kind of women? Don't we have the right kind of voice? Are we discussing things like independence that other people don't want to talk about? There is no explanation. And I mean, I will tell you exclusively, we plan to write an open letter to Philip Sim to state exactly that. And I'm very keen to understand what it is the BBC think that us women in the ALBA are lacking in credentials, that we're not worthy of even a mention, even tangentially, in any of their pieces. So they may try and silence us, but we shall not be silenced.
No, you should, because women's issues are so important, particularly at this time, and they are not discussing them or debating them properly, and it should be that, among other things. But the other one that gets me, Tasmina, is the biggest problem with Brexit looming, or, you know, with furlough coming to an end and Brexit, the full force of Brexit being felt very shortly. The economy's not been talked about, the poverty that's in Scotland. That's another thing they don't seem to want to talk about, something that really needs addressed now and needs addressed by independence.
You know, it's we're all in agreement that the pandemic is an ongoing danger and threat, and we need to manage the people of Scotland, in fact all over the world, through this to the other side. However, we have to be able to do more than one thing at once to make that happen effectively. And through this pandemic, I mean, you know, Roddy, my family's lost three family members in this pandemic. And there are many more that have suffered even greater losses in this pandemic, not just loss of life, but loss of job, loss of opportunity, loss of prospects, impacts on mental health. And, you know, lifting people up and having the economic levers that are absolutely essential to start making a difference to people's lives will not come as they're currently being handed out to us, or have been handed out to us, by Westminster. We have to demand the full powers of a normal, independent country to be able to address these issues. There is nothing more pressing in my mind and in my party's mind, our party's mind, than ensuring a swift independence referendum or swift move to independence, negotiating on day one of a supermajority in the parliament, because that is the only way we can lift our people out of the destruction that has been caused by this pandemic and lead with the legacy issues that have existed before the pandemic started. The economic challenges and poverty haven't just started as a result of the pandemic. They've been endemic for decades and required to be addressed, and they cannot be satisfactorily addressed in a devolved state. We need to have full powers, you know, within our control, and therefore independence is an imperative for the health, well-being, economic recovery and future of Scotland. And that is why, you know, ALBA was born. That is why ALBA is standing. And that is why ALBA will continue pushing the elected representatives who are there, whoever is successful in these elections, in the right direction. That in direction is a signpost towards independence. Because without that, we can't fix anything else. It's not an afterthought. It's not something to think about in 2023, 24 or 25. Independence is required now. Delivering that independence is essential. And that's what we intend to play our massive part in ensuring happens.
Yeah, because you've touched there on what a question that I was going to come in with. And that is, I'm an ex-SNP man of many decades, and I cannot understand why the SNP just now are talking about waiting until after 2023. And depending on Boris Johnson and that shower down in London to get Scotland out of this mess, I cannot understand why you want to leave Scotland there a minute longer than is necessary. I just don't understand it. I need someone to explain to me that.
Well, I agree with you, Roddy, and I've sat on those benches at Westminster, albeit for 2 years, but that was more than enough time for me to be able to assess just how much respect other parliamentarians had for our cause of independence. We were jeered, you know, noises made at us, sounds disrespectful, trying to drown our voices out, particularly, I should say, SNP women when I was down there. So, you know, if we're expecting that somebody's going to do the right thing, that's not going to happen. So we have to seize the momentum, we have to seize the day, and we have to make the path. And, you know, frankly, you know, the SNP, which is a party essential, of course, to achieving independence. Of course they are. And we must support them in the election. But, you know, the SNP have had a number of mandates, and mandates which haven't been acted upon. There is a limit to the number of front pages in the National and other publications you can have saying we're going to have an independence referendum and marching people up to the top of the hill, only to march them back down again and then seek another mandate at the next electoral test. There comes a point when people think, well, we keep doing what you're asking us to do, but you're not fulfilling your end of the bargain. So before people lose faith and trust and a desire to come out and vote, which is, you know, voter apathy is something that we shouldn't put on the back burner. It's something we should be very well aware of. We need to take the moment in our hands that currently faces us and make the difference that we need to make in getting that super majority and making it happen and showing that we mean business. Because, you know, Boris Johnson and his merry band, it understands that we've had a number of mandates that we've not acted upon or enforced implementation on. So this will just be another one unless we change or recast how this election is seen by our opponents of independence. That is what we require to do. And as Alex always says, we need to change change the tone and change the debate from Prime Minister against First Minister to Prime Minister against Parliament and the people of Scotland, because in that circumstance, the people, our people of Scotland, will win. And that's what we have to achieve.
Yeah, I wrote a piece recently where, as I explained it, all my time in the SNP, we had fundamentalists and we had the gradualists, two different wings of the party. And I remember it was actually Alec who convinced an old fundy like me that devolution wasn't such a bad thing. I still had a sour taste in my mouth from 1979 when we were betrayed by the Labour Party. And I didn't trust them again. And I was all for, no, Alec, tell me, put it where the monkey put its nuts. We'll just go for independence. But Alec convinced me with his reason, and he was right. We had to teach, show the people of Scotland, after 300 years of being battered and bruised and told they were too stupid, too weak, too poor, that we could govern, and that even with a devolved settlement, and then from there we could move. And he was right. He was right, and I was wrong. But now we are still, in my opinion, ALBA and the SNP are the same party as such, just two different wings of it. Us, I would suggest, the ALBA party are the fundamentalists and the gradualists. We should work in unison, because we, at the end of the day, we both want the same thing, just different routes to get there. The time has come to unite, and as the theme of of Angus last night, unite the clans, I'm saying unite in my blog. I think we need the SNP people to understand we are friends, not foes.
Well, what devolution gave the SNP and two governments led by Alex to do was to show the people of Scotland, to earn their trust and respect, that given some of the levers, we were able to govern ourselves extremely well. Because if you want to take the hold of the public with you, I suppose you have to demonstrate you have an ability to do that. And that was done extremely well. And you know, people voted for that team record vision that won us when we broke the system in 2011 and won a majority in the Scottish Parliament, that led to the delivery and execution of an independence referendum. So, you know, that was that had its part to play. But, you know, as you rightly say, moving forward, you know, this is not about, we will progress our movement's cause if we stop thinking about it as different factions and different entities. We are, or one single entity, I should say, requiring ultimate power to achieve the ultimate aim. That aim can only be achieved when all sorts of entities wishing, demanding, in a number of different ways, the same outcome, work together. For instance, let's talk about All Under One Banner, who for years, since the last independence referendum in 2014, have been marching and encouraging people to keep that flame alive. And I pay due credit to them, because when others weren't talking about it, they were marching about it and making their voices heard. And so they've kept that movement alive. And it is now up to elected politicians and those aspiring election to deliver upon that, on the work that's been done in the background. So, yes, it's a broad movement. The movement will only be successful if it's a broad movement. In 2014, we understood that it needed to have that breadth of movement. And indeed, you know, many times, I mean, I sat on the board of Yes Scotland, Rod, you may well know, and I was obviously a candidate in the European elections in 2014. And we faced the criticism, rightly so, to a certain extent, that this feels like an SNP campaign, you know, everybody should be involved. And they were right. And perhaps we may have got across the line and achieved even greater success if the movement had felt, at least in and of itself, that had been broadened out to emancipate more people, as opposed to looking like it was being led by one particular party. But, you know, on the ground, that wasn't the case. There were meetings across the country being held by all sorts of Yes organisations, which was great. In terms of working together, absolutely, Roddy. I've got colleagues everywhere in the movement. I've got former colleagues in the SNP who I think very highly of, lots of women who I've worked with, and I really look forward to working with again in another guise as an ALBA member of the Scottish Parliament, but fighting for the same cause of independence. And Alex has been very clear in extending a hand to say, you know, this isn't about personalities. This is about our country. So you have to put our country before personalities, because no one person will lead us to independence. All of our people will lead us to independence, and therefore we have to work together. And we will work with anybody who's happy and prepared to work with us in a positive environment of respect and understanding. And a respect and understanding coming back to women, Roddy, of women's rights. in this movement and in an independent Scotland, and women's right to protection and an ability to speak freely in protected safe spaces without people making up stories about what they might or might not have said when they weren't even at events, and has left us in a position, Noddy, of having to make complaints to the police. So yes, let's work together. We shouldn't be fighting an enemy within. Is the enemy outside not big enough already? So we're happy to work together, and I'm happy to work together. And I've always been enthusiastic and positive about the future, because you're not going to draw people in if you're negative. People need to know what you're taking them to is something positive.
Yeah, absolutely right. One of the things I was worried about prior to the Alba arriving was apathy. And if the first BBC debate is anything to go by, as you alluded to earlier, I think apathy would have won the election with a landslide. And the ironic thing almost is that
absolutely ironic. I mean, that's a great observation. I mean, I think voter apathy was a big problem. In fact, depressingly, you know, at the very start, early days, even before the announcement of the election, but we knew it was, of course, happening. There's so many people were posting things, you know, on the online forum saying they weren't going to come out and vote at all. And we, you know, as a country and as a movement that's trying to encourage people to come forward, stand up and believe in ourselves, the idea that people thought that wasn't anything worth voting for was something of great concern. And absolutely, Roddy fed in, I'm sure, to Laurie Friend's forming the party. Indeed, and of course, Alex carrying forward the torch. And what we have done, you just have to look at polling. Since Alba's been on the scene, you know, the SNP's showing in the polls is doing well and is increasing because, you know, along with us asking people to vote quite sensibly, because it's an inarguable situation is that the maths make sense. But part of that has been vote SNP in the constituencies. And people who felt disenfranchised for a whole variety of reasons, why they didn't feel like they could lend the SNP their vote this time, have thought, well, actually, there's a point there. There's a point in that there's something to vote for, because if we add our SNP vote to elect Nicola Sturgeon as First Minister and a competent government, and we add to that a political force being the ALBA Party, whose primary ambition and aim is to deliver independence for Scotland, along with a whole other load of policies with various nuances and differences that will become apparent over the next few weeks, Roddy. But if we add those two things together, the argument is compelling and worth registering a postal vote for, and worth coming out on the 6th of May and voting for, because the maths make sense. You know, almost a million wasted votes in 2016. And it's not even that they're wasted in and of themselves, but what the electoral system allows to happen then is for unionist MSPs to be elected. And what have those unionist MSPs contributed to the debate on Scotland's future when Brexit was happening, when poverty and inequality was being inflicted because we didn't have the levers of control in the Scottish Parliament? What were they doing? Were they speaking for Scotland? Or Scotland's poor people, or Scotland's disenfranchised people? No, they were speaking against them. So what reason could there possibly be that anyone can articulate from a mathematical perspective, or even from a sheer the right thing to do perspective, for people not voting SNP in the constituency and ALBA on the list? I'm waiting for someone to deploy that argument and make me understand why that doesn't make most sense. And in the absence of that, I will continue to argue that that is exactly what people should do in this election to secure a supermajority of MSPs. So Boris is fighting with the whole of Scotland, not just part of it. And he won't have the excuse, so, well, there's some unionist MSPs in Scotland representing people of different views, because that won't be the case, in my estimation. He'll be arguing with the people of Scotland who've had enough of the nonsense stuff and nonsense that he spouts and have said, do you know what? It's now time to move on and take our own future into our own hands. And I'm hugely optimistic, Roddy, that people over time, and I'm sure that's happening on the ground, from the messages that we're getting, the support that we have from supporters and volunteers and members, that people are coming across to our point of view because it makes sense.
Absolutely. When people say to me, well, why did it happen in 2011? I said, because Alex Salmond led the SNP for a start. So, but it was a fluke. And the ironic thing I was going to say is that actually the ALBA party has invigorated the campaign, and as you've alluded to, are actually probably, should understand this, SNP voters are probably going to help the SNP gain more seats and more votes. And that is very, very true. Well,
on that point, Roddy, though, just, and it would be remiss of me not to mention this, on that point of helping the SNP get more votes, people, you know, hopefully your listeners, intelligent, wonderful listeners that they are, because I hear some of the things they say in the comments that they make after listening to your programmes, the Green candidates standing in this election are not helping the cause of independence when they stand against SNP MSP candidates on the list. In the constituencies.
No,
so, you know, it's all very well for members of the Scottish Greens to cast this aside as an irrelevance and not necessary. They'll secure the independence majority. They're actively working against that by standing against SNP candidates in constituency seats that SNP would definitely win, but for perhaps votes that will be lost to the Green Party. So, let you know, at the very least, Roddy, in this election, I think political parties should speak with some honesty about what the maths actually mean and what the votes actually mean. Because the people of Scotland don't button up the back or from any other direction. They understand what's going on, so people should not try and make fools of the voting public.
Okay. I mean, it's for a certain that the last time in 2016, Edinburgh Central, the Greens standing allowed Ruth Davidson to win that seat. Otherwise, we would have won it, we being the SNP. And that's just a fact.
Well, what a triumph that was for the independence movement, securing the election of the Baroness Ruth Davidson. I mean, that again speaks for itself. All the mass is there. We all know what happens. History has told us what will happen, and history will repeat itself unless we seize history and make that our future.
Correct. So rather than have the seat warmers of the union folks, you've got to vote SNP in the constituency and ALBA on the regional list. It is the sensible, it's the vote, you know, I think it was Jason Jeggett who turned around and said, vote for your party in the constituency and vote for Scotland in the regional list. And if you're voting for ALBA, you're voting for Scotland, because the supermajority is the way forward. Because the other thing, we're coming close to the end of the programme, but just your thoughts on this, Tasmina. The supermajority suddenly makes the narrative ours, Scotland's parliament is... holds the narrative, not Boris, not Westminster. They don't dictate anything anymore. Once we have the supermajority, we are completely in charge. Whether we decide to have a Section 30, whether we decide to have a plebiscite independence election, whether we just decide to negotiate the terms, whatever it is we decide, we the people of Scotland, that's the decision. Nothing to do with Boris and his buffoons. Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, and you are right, and that's exactly as it should be. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very interesting when people say that, you know, the ALBA party have no part to play. Well, almost immediately, you know, words like supermajority are now common parlance. An understanding of what that means for us in the independence movement, and an understanding of what that means in Whitehall, is now extremely apparent, because polling over the weekend and information that we've got would demonstrate that they accept that a super majority would mean that there is no argument to be had. Mm-hmm. We would have to have, by whatever means was agreed at the time and those negotiating it, Scotland would have to absolutely have its say. So if we've been doing something for years to no avail and making no difference, and all of a sudden we're changing the terms of the debate and introducing the idea of a supermajority, and all of a sudden things are being looked at differently. That's a win for our movement, and therefore people should see it in that framing. And I'm hugely positive about it. We cannot be stopped, and nor should we be stopped. As I say, you know, you can't have Boris shouting orders at the people of Scotland. He may well in a political arena and in that forum shout them at the First Minister of Scotland or any other, whoever might be, well, in fact, at the First Minister of Scotland, because all things going well, Nicola Sturgeon will indeed lead the next Scottish government. But all of that being said, you cannot argue with the people when in their masses they have voted for lots and lots of pro-independence MSPs. And, you know, Roddy, one other point to add, it's not just numbers. You know, ALBA candidates are not just numbers. We are people. We are people of 18 women and 14 men of varied backgrounds who can inform the debate in Parliament. Many amongst us who've faced poverty, inequality, abuse, all sorts of issues, challenges in life, challenges in business, challenges from a family perspective, challenges by dint of being a woman. All of these people are not just a number in terms of delivering independence, but they are people who have something positive to offer the debate that we need to have in terms of what that Scotland should look like. Because there's no point in achieving our country's independence if at the same time we don't have the policies to make that country a success. And those policies must be born out of experience, first-hand experience, because much of the same will not work for our people. They need difference. And difference comes from what people have to offer and bring to the debate. And that's a hugely positive thing. And on that note, Roddy, I implore and ask people to please consider consider our candidates each on their own merit. And as part of the ALBA party, our aims are honest and genuine and seeking simply to deliver independence for Scotland as an absolute imperative for our fellow Scots.
Correct. And I will do this, and I will implore Ms Sturgeon and all the SNP people that listen in, and I know plenty you do. All you have to do is there is SNP in the constituency, ALBA in the regional list, and we have a supermajority. It really is that simple. There's no rocket science to this, folks. We can do it if we work together, united as one independence movement. And on that note, Tasmina, I have to thank you. I know you've got things to do, people to see, places to go. And I would like to thank you on behalf of Through a Scottish Prism and let you know that now that you've attended once, you will be sought again for your views at some time in the distant, not too distant future. I hope you'll come back and tell us how things are going.
Can I say thank you so much for the invite? It's an honour actually to be asked to speak in this forum, and nothing was more important than what I did just now in terms of today's campaigning. So I thank you for that opportunity, and to even suggest that I might be invited back is a very good thing.
So you are a smooth talker, Mrs. Sheikh, a smooth talker. I love it. You'll be back, trust me, you'll be back. And to you, my viewers. I hope you've viewers, I'm getting carried away here. I'm so excited at the compliment. I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have. And until I speak to you, which will be very, very soon, you and yours, please, please take care.
Through a Scottish Prism, the programme that is unapologetically pro-Scottish independence and anti-Westminster rule. Everything we say here is viewed through a Scottish prism. Brought to you by Barhead Boys.